This morning I've asked our head of council, our moderator, to come and read our scripture for us. It'll be provided as well on the screen behind me, and it's also found in 2 John, John's epistle, 2 John. Sandy, if you'll come and read for us.
Reading from 2 John chapter 1. The elder, to the lady chosen by God and to her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth which lives in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, and from Jesus Christ the Father's Son, will be with us in truth and love. It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. And now, dear lady, I am not writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another, and this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. I say this because many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what we have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. Blessed be God's word.
Thank you, Sandy. Eggs and bacon. Salt and pepper. Captain and Tennille. Steak and onions. Spaghetti and meatballs. Cheese and crackers. Oreos and milk. Turkey and stuffing. Thelma and Louise. Sun and sand. Peanut butter and jam. Mud and Jeff. Some things go together well. Some things fuse together. And still other things, when they come together, they produce energy and power and life. Plutonium and one neutron. Energy. A man and a woman. Life. Two molecules of hydrogen, one molecule of oxygen. Water. John presents for us in what Sandy read two life-giving elements. Truth and love. Love and truth. Now, in our society, we are challenged by understanding truth and love, love and truth, because of two philosophical influences that we have in our society. One is called religious pluralism, and the other one's called relativism. Religious pluralism, or philosophical pluralism, states that all philosophies and religions have equal value and equal validity. What does this mean? It means that regardless of your philosophy or religious understanding, it's all the same. Regardless of your belief, it's all equal. Every position, every philosophy, every religion is equally valid, even if they contradict each other. Relativism is the understanding that there is no absolute truth, that there's only relative, subjective perceptions. Those are two influences on our society, and we hear them in different ways. But to remind you, one is the understanding that all philosophies are equally true. The other perspective is that there is no absolute truth anyways. It's all relative. So through this fog, through this storm, through this mixed up culture that we live in, and why I say mixed up is that you just have to take two philosophies, one that says there is no God, and one that says God is supreme. How are they both true? They cannot be both true. Relativism says it doesn't matter anything. Anyway, Because there is no absolute truth. When you get into trying to delve in the understandings of these philosophies that we live in, you get really confused. And it gets more and more myopic in our own world to say, ah, there's no truth anyways. We may think that we're pretty novel in coming up with this philosophy, this understanding of life, but remember Pilate? What did Pilate say to Jesus? What is truth? What is truth? So it's not new. But my perception, as I shared with you, is this religious pluralism and this relativism that says everything's equal and they're all lies is a problem we have in understanding love and truth. Because the apostle John certainly does not have the perception that we have. So I wanted to share with you just five expressions of truth that John gives us. Five expressions of truth. Number one, verse 2, he says, truth is eternal. Number 2, also verse 2, truth can live in us. It's dynamic. Number 3, in verse 2 as well, truth is motivational. It gives us the reason to do what we do. Going back to verse 1, truth is something we can know, that we can know together. Not I only, he says, but also all who know the truth. It's a common common understanding that we all can have the truth for John. And fifth, verse 4, we can walk in the truth. It's operational for us. We can work within the truth. Truth is eternal. Truth is dynamic in us. Truth is motivational for us. Truth is commonly known. Truth is or can be knowable together. And truth is operational. Some of you may say, this is just way too philosophical for Sunday morning. Too ethereal. It's way up there, truth. What do I... But all of us operate all the time within truth or lies. We're in it so much that we're like fish in water. And we're constantly in our mind assessing truth or lies. We just are duped somewhat to say, oh, it's just all philosophical. Let me share with you a truth. Here's a truth. My human life will end. It's a truth. Is it an eternal truth? Yeah, it's an eternal truth. I began at a certain point, and I will end at a certain point. Eternal truth. Is it a dynamic truth? Yeah, if within me, it's something that I realize that I'm to make every moment of my life matter, because I have less of it now than I did a couple moments ago. Is it dynamic? Absolutely. Is it motivational? Yes, it's motivational, because when I'm reminded of the shortness of life, it makes me value my priorities. Is it something that can be known collectively or as a group? Is it same for all? Well, all of you know, I hope all of you believe, because it's true, my life will end. But not just that, your life will end too. Even philosophies or worldviews that say reincarnation is something that they believe is true, you still don't come back as Ken Park. You don't repeat it. I don't get to have this same moment with you today, have the same snack, enjoy my afternoon. I'll never live this day again. Is it, lastly, operational? Yes. The truth that my life will end is operational because it's in my DNA that it's going to end. You can look at various perspectives in your life and say, okay, what are the truths? We'll run them through John's understanding. Truth is eternal. You can't change it. Truth is truth. Truth is dynamic. It's a powerful thing. Truth is motivational. It causes you to do certain things. Truth is knowable for others around you. That's how we can share language. Truth is operational. When we have an understanding of how truth works within us that's somewhat natural because we're human beings, we can then decide how we're going to handle things like my life will end. Some of you may say, oh, I went to church this morning and I was depressed by the fact that I heard the pastor's life's going to end. Truth is truth. It doesn't have a positive or negative. It's just truth. It's so powerful that I can't say, well, I don't like the fact that my life's going to end, so I'm just not going to believe that. I can do that, but I'm foolish, because that's not the truth. Some of you may say, oh, it's so depressing. Ken's life's going to end. Some days I want my life to end. Some days, you know, those days which are kind of akin to when you've got a stomach flu and you're closer to the washroom than to your bed, those days, oh, how long do I have to deal with this? Lord, take me now. I know you've all said it. Take me now. This has got to end. Please make it end. So the truth that my life would end is neither a positive or negative. It's how I deal with it. John goes further, because John in this text is working with the truth. You know, see, he's not talking about just a truth, a logical statement. He's talking about the truth. You see, he used the understanding of Jesus in his writings that he was the Word. John 1, the Gospel. He was the Word. The Word was with us. The Word was in us. He also is the one that wrote Jesus saying, I am the way, truth, life. I have the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. I learned about the truth and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So John's not just writing about, well, you know, we have a book of truth. He's writing about a person. And he then carries on and knits together that truth connects with love. And he shares the understanding that truth is love's tool, and gives us five expressions or understandings of love. Let me just share these with you. Verse 3, love is used by God to bless us, to bring us grace and mercy and peace from the Father and Jesus Christ in truth and love. Love is God's operational tool to bring you those things, grace, mercy, peace. Number 2, verse 1, love is an interactional power that connects with truth in human beings. John says, to the lady chosen by God and to her children, whom I love in the truth. It's a interactional thing with human beings. Love is eternal. Verse 5, it's not a new commandment that I give to you. It's one that we've had from the beginning. Love one another. Number 4, love is both a choice and a command. John writes, I ask that we love one another. In the free will that you have the option to love one another. But the next verse, he says, God's command is that you walk in love. It's a choice and a command. Number 5. Verse 6, love is a life ethos. We, like truth, walk in it, we work in it, we operate in it. He says, his command is that you walk in love. He doesn't say his command is that you love. My command is that you love each other. It's that you walk in it. That it's something that is with you all the time, that you work with. It's used by God to bless us, love is. It interacts with truth in us human beings. It's eternal. It's both a choice and a command, and it's an ethos through life that we take on, kind of like breathing. You see, love enacted through truth is powerful. It's life-giving. It's vital. We thirst for it, and we get pretty offended when we don't get truth. Don't you dare lie to me. Ever said those words? Why are we offended when people lie to us if truth isn't important? Why do we care? Oh, go ahead. Lie to me. I don't care. You can't live with lies. Truth is operational. Love is operation in our life. We need it. It's like breathing. Let me share with you a few bad combinations. The tortoise and the hare. Milk and pickles. Socks and sandals. Nails on a chalkboard. Dr. Zhivago, the movie, in February. That's just wrong. Pork and porcupine meat. This is odd. I guess it always comes with a toothpick. Cake and beer. Toothpaste and orange juice. A fool and money. Alcohol and guns. Banana and buttermilk. Marmite and any food on the face of the planet. A pig and a horse. Learned that by experience. One day I came home to look after my pigs in the barn, and my boar, who was pretty mean at times, had two hoof prints in his side. And my horse and he were together for the day. My horse was hiding in the corner. How did this work out? It's like, he was like a football, I guess. Deception and the innocent. Loving someone who finds you repulsive. Those don't go together. Truth and hatred. Love and lies. They don't go together. John warns us in this passage that we have to be careful. You should be so careful that you should weigh and measure the words that I say to you and guard your hearts. Compare them to the Word of God. Read the Word of God. Protect yourself, because two powerful things live within you. Two powerful things are eternal, operational, motivational, knowable, and that's love and truth. Love and truth are in you, but you have to protect them. And you have to protect them because John here says that there's deceivers in the world. Yeah, we get that. We're told every day that a certain type of water will be better than other forms of water for us. That a certain dress will be more slimming. That if we drive fast along Kingston Road, there'll be no police officers there on a certain time. All kinds of things are thrown at us that are deceit. But John in particular shares with us truth in this form. He says, many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have come into this world. You know, you can go and find on-demand shows that will tell you the history of the ancient Near East and say, yeah, there was no Jesus Christ. Don't believe it. It's a lie. John here, now think about this guy. This guy didn't write in 1300s. He didn't write in the 18th century. He didn't write in the 5th century. This is John, who walked and talked with Jesus Christ. And he says, there are many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. What's he saying? Well, the big debate in John's time was twofold. On one hand, people said he was God and he came as a spirit. He kind of hovered around. He talked with people and they heard him, but he was not a full physical being. He was not fully man. And the other expression went along the way of our society today, and that, Jesus Christ was a man, but that's all. He was not fully God. They had a very tough time putting together, we still do today, the fact that Jesus Christ was fully God and fully man together. So John says, do not believe deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. Second thing he says is this. People who deceive, who try to steal from us, gets a little closer to home because he says this. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ, this is verse 9, does not have God. It's a little closer to home for us. Any of us that run ahead of God, try to do it ourselves, even faith. Yeah, I've been there. I think my will should be what God does over His will. We run ahead. If God's wrong in this matter, I'll turn to something else. Anyone who runs ahead is not of God. Does not continue in the teaching of Christ. Do you know anyone that started off well in Sunday school, was baptized, and later on in life say, yeah, God didn't give me what I wanted, so I stopped? But whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. So I guess my question for you is, are you thirsty? Do you want to know the power that's far greater than any kind of nuclear reaction? It's not more power, it's new life. Do you want to taste fully of the power of God? Do you want to live? Jesus Christ was the perfect combination. Living water, bread of life, the shepherd who takes care of his sheep, fully human, fully divine, filled with truth and love. When we exercise his truth without love, we become legalistic and dogmatic and fundamentalist and judgmental, unyielding, unloving. And when we exercise his love without his truth, we're licentious. We birth self-centeredness, confusion, weakness. We say things like, oh, just, you know I love you, just do whatever you want. That's not truth. Truth and love have to come together, fused within you. The choice you have is whether you continue to exercise this truth and love together. How do you do it? Well, you can't do it on your own. John says so here. Continue to be discipled by Jesus Christ. Personal study of God's Word with the Holy Spirit guiding you through the truth. Prayer to Him that His will be done. Letting Him grow your faith so that He leads you to where He is going to take you. Ultimately, pass this life to a place where you'll sense that new creation that Jesus already demonstrated. New creation. Brand new. Something greater than anything that's ever been done. Choice is how we continue in it. If you feel that, as I've been talking today, a call to respond to God in love and truth, then you can just yield to God. Truth is, we don't do this once in our lives. We do it many times. Yielding to God is a continuance. Something that we find easier over time to do, I believe, but that God calls us to over and over again. So if you feel that God has called you to yield to Him, then do it. As I pray, say, God, here I am. Take me. Here I am. My life is yours. Here I am. I want to walk in the truth and love. I want to be your guy. Be your girl.